Welcome back to Inside College Basketball Now with John Rothstein. Pleased to be joined by Kansas State head coach Casey Alexander. And Casey, welcome. How would you describe the last 2 months?
Yeah, fast and furious, especially early. You know, you get these jobs and there's a lot of work to be done, especially when you've got a bare roster. So we worked really hard, got a lot accomplished, and now we're actually got a little bit of a break, which is nice. It feels awkward, but it's nice.
Now, I know you haven't coached a game yet at Kansas State, but with what you've endured thus far, what's the biggest difference in being the head coach at Kansas State versus being the head coach at Belmont?
Yeah, a lot of differences. You know, there's just, gosh, and the biggest one is the great unknown is like, what's this league going to be like, and yep. How are the games going to go? And we're a long way off from that. You know, I've tried really hard, though, to make it as similar as I can. I'm not naive. I know that there are, you know, it's a different level. It's different challenges, you know, but I've tried to be who I am and construct a roster the way that we want to construct a roster. We're going to play the way that we play, you know, so as much the same as we can be, even though we realize things are going to be different at this level.
How similar is a team coached by Casey Alexander at Kansas State going to look like the teams that Casey Alexander coached at Belmont?
Very similar. You know, again, I sit here today, I have no idea who our best player is, who our leading scorer is going to be, who our rotational pieces are going to be. You know, those things are to be determined, which is unnerving. But we are, what you see on the floor will look the same way that it always has. Just new faces, new uniforms, and Brandwich Coliseum, which I'm excited about.
Yeah, well, it's one of the great home court environments in all of college basketball. And obviously for you, it makes complete sense to be in a power conference that's going to be a multi-bid league each and every year. But I'm curious, what was it like coaching in a one-bid mid-major tournament, especially when you're the favorite?
Difficult, you know, I mean, and we had a great season at Belmont. You know, we win the regular season by 3 games in the Valley, which is a great league. I loved every minute of my time in the Valley and every minute of my time at Belmont. But it's a harsh reality when you get into that conference tournament, and it's really your only chance to get into the NCAA tournament. And we laid an egg in that tournament and paid the penalty for it with no access to play in the big dance. So that's tough. That carrot is definitely something that's intriguing about the Big 12 and greater access. Nobody wants to finish in the middle of the pack, but in reality, if you're in the middle of the pack in the Big 12, you're at least on the bubble, if not in the tournament. So that makes things so much more exciting.
As you look back on last season at Belmont, do you think about the fact that you did have a great regular season, or do you more remember the final game where you didn't play nearly your best on the biggest stage?
Yeah, both. I mean, there's so much that goes into a season. It's my favorite part of coaching is taking a team from the beginning to the end. And so if I was only concerned about the end, I think I would be shortchanging everybody that cares about the team. Naturally, we're disappointed when you don't finish the way that you want to. And that's ultimately what you're striving for all season. But we did some great things. We had a great year. So I would be foolish to turn my head to that and pretend that it didn't happen.
Now, Arch Madness is a little bit before the rest of the mid-major conference tournament. So you guys lost, you know, well a week before Selection Sunday. What was it like having all that time where you knew you weren't going to the NCAA tournament and you had to just wait and watch the rest of the country unfold?
Yeah, that's never fun. And it doesn't really matter. I mean, when your season's over, you know, there's a period of time where you don't really even like college basketball for a few days. You know, you don't want to watch anybody else. You have virtually no concern for what's going on around you, but then reality comes back to you and you can reflect on the goods and the bads. And in this case, I had a lot going on in those few days after we lost in the Missouri Valley tournament. So, I stayed pretty busy.
One thing, too, that you and all mid-major coaches have to deal with, especially if you're having the success you did at Belmont, was retaining a roster is so much harder at the mid-major level in this climate. And you had some really, really good players at Belmont go to the higher level over the past couple of years. Jacoby Gillespie, obviously. Cade Tyson went to North Carolina and then Minnesota. How difficult is it to sustain a program at an elite mid-major level in this climate?
Almost impossible, you know, unless you just have one of those rare administrations that's just going to throw big money, unproportional to you, to actually where you are. it's just almost impossible. And we lost some great players through the last 4 or 5 years. I think we had, seven or eight, and now double figure. When you look at Charnowski and Lumblade and Orm, guys that left for Power Four teams. And I think what's lost in that is we also had some great seniors, you know, so it's not just the guys you lose to the portal, but you have other players who are all conference players as seniors, and you combine those two things, and it makes it very difficult to, you know, to have the kind of not just retention, but just the sustained success that you're always looking for.
What can Tennessee, Nebraska, and also Duke fans expect from the three gentlemen who played for you last year that have now transferred to a higher level?
Yeah, they'll all walk in and they'll be impactful players in their own way. You know, I think those are great programs, but I have great confidence that those three players will be impactful, and it'll be a win-win for everybody.
Casey, you take this job at Kansas State and you don't have any power conference experience. Who have you reached out to try and obviously get downloaded now on the intricacies of power conference basketball?
Yeah, before I got the job or took the job, and since, I've talked to several people who have made similar transitions and you know, trying to not so much like, hey, how do I do this? But, you know, tell me the things I need to be looking for. What would you do differently if you could do it all over again? You know, what am I walking into? You know, just to give myself a little bit more comfort. But at the same time, you know, I believe in what we're doing. I have no fear about whether we can be successful or not. Again, not naive to the fact that it's going to be very difficult. And, you know, this is an unbelievable conference with Hall of Fame coaches and a lot of home court advantages that the road team doesn't win so much, you know. So I'm not at all saying that, you know, we're going to walk in and set the world on fire, but I also believe in who we are, and I think we'll get it done.
Who specifically with power conference experience have you chatted with about the keys to making sure the transition goes as smoothly as possible?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's so much like now that I have the job, what do I need to do? But it was more like in getting the job and just those first couple of weeks. But I talked to Mike Young about some of that. I talked to Ben McCollum about it. Both guys who were, you know, mid-major coaches who I know in different capacities. You know, when you look, it's easy to look at what Ben's done and what kind of year they had at Iowa, and whether I'm asking him questions or not, I mean, it's a pretty good blueprint for what we're trying to do.
Kansas State has had really good pockets of success. Frank Martin took Kansas State to the Elite Eight in 2010. Bruce Weber took Kansas State to the Elite Eight also in 2018. Jerome Tang took Kansas State to the Elite Eight in 2023. How do you make this program more consistent and not a program that just has obviously pockets of success?
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up, because I do think the most important part of that question is just the recognition that it can be done at K-State. It's been done well for a long time by a lot of coaches, and more so than just the three that you mentioned. And so that's why I'm excited about the job, is just the possibilities and the potential that's out there. And you know, it's my expectation. It's everybody that cheers for K-State's expectation that we'll be consistent winners. How that happens is, in my opinion, is knowing who we are and what we want and sticking to that script and then just doing it year after year. Again, the league's got multiple national champions. Top to bottom, everybody can point to some recent success. So it's foolish to think it's just going to happen because we show up, but it can be done, and I'm confident it will be done.
What was the dialogue like with you and Gene Taylor when he was interviewing you for the job?
Well, Gene's a great man, first of all. I mean, he's somebody who I built trust with immediately. I have a lot of confidence in his ability to lead our program. I felt like he was extraordinarily honest with me during the process. Not a lot of bells and whistles. This is who we are. This is what we're looking for. And I feel similarly. I think that's what attracted me to him or him to me. Very like-minded in that way. Kansas State wants to win, you know, and not just from a resource level, but, you know, it's like, what do we need to do to put ourselves in position to win? It's what our expectation is. And that's, you know, for any coach at any level, that's a great place to start when you feel that kind of commitment from your administration and your primary leaders.
I've watched your team since you were at Lipscomb. I remember you almost beat Louisville once in a bye game, and I was like, this team's going to be really, really good at the mid-major level. And obviously, I followed you at Belmont. But for the people that aren't as familiar with your style of play, what would you share with them about what they can expect for Kansas State moving forward?
Yeah, well, I'll start it by saying this first. You know, we've won a lot of games and a lot of championships, and you don't do that if you're not good on both ends of the floor. So we get a little bit of a bad rap that defensively we're not very good, but I don't think you can win if you're not good on both ends. Offense is what we've always been kind of known for, what our trademark would be. You know, a lot of guys that high IQ players that spread the floor, that play unselfishly. Our team this past season at Belmont had the best effective field goal percentage in the country. We were literally first in the country from three and fifth from two. We were sixth in the country in assists per game, but we also were top 25 in tempo and scoring. So it's the best of both worlds. Like, let's play fast and with a lot of freedom, but let's also be efficient and good with what we do. And that's more, it's not a genius coaching. It's not my strategy. It's more roster construction and making sure that we have the right pieces that play the way that we want to play than it is the X's and O's that I'm pulling.
Casey, what are your thoughts on the roster you've put together?
Yeah, I'm excited, really excited. Again, I don't know who our best players are right now, but I feel like we've got quality across the board. I feel like we have depth across the board. I do feel like we found a high number of guys that will be better than previous production because I think we'll put them in the right places to find some success. We've got good experience. So I'm really excited to see where we go. And I feel like from June 1st to November 1st, that's more than enough time to make sure that we're ready to go.
There are a lot of things that you want to evaluate when you're taking a job, especially at the power conference level. But one that's an added bonus is when you have not a good, but a great home court advantage. How attractive was it to take the Kansas State job knowing that you were going to coach all of your home games in the Octagon of Doom?
Yeah, very attractive. It's one of the things that I look forward to the most. And what that level brings in general. But Kansas State, the fans are passionate. That building is great. It's got a lot of history. To be at a place where, really for the first time in my career, where the crowd really will make a difference is exciting. And the history's there. So I look forward to that in great detail.
Non-conference scheduling, obviously always something I like to dive into and study. You guys have three games in the players' era. You're going to play Creighton at home in the back end of home and home series. You're at Seton Hall. Is there anything else of significance that you can share for Kansas State's non-conference schedule coming up in 26-27?
Yeah, no contracts back yet, so a little premature to throw names out there. But we do have another, I think, exciting game or two with what I would say are more 50-50 games, high major kind of games, neutral court kind of games that are on the horizon, but a little premature to talk about the specifics of those. The schedule, like a lot of schools out there, it takes a backseat to the portal, and hardly anybody wants to really sign on the dotted line before you know who's on your roster or who's on somebody else's roster. So still working on those things.
All coaches are really drinking from a fire hose during the season, and hopefully there's a couple of days around Christmas where everybody can kind of get with their families before the gauntlet really begins. How are you going to enjoy the holidays knowing that on the back end of Christmas is the Big 12?
Yeah, it'll be different. And I think all coaches look forward to that time where you actually get 3 or 4 or 5 days to get away from it. But we never really get away from it. As coaches, it doesn't really matter what time of year it is even. It's always at the forefront of our mind. You're always thinking about ways to improve or what's coming next. And that Big 12 gauntlet, going through that for the first time for me will be quite a challenge. You know, I'm really excited about it. I mean, it's the reason I'm here, but I also know that it's going to be really difficult. Best programs in the country, most difficult places to play in the country. And you just kind of have to weather the storm to some degree.
I'm always curious, doing this as long as I have, why coaches hold on to their tough losses more than they appreciate their great wins. So for you, give me right now one win that you always seem to hold close to your heart, and then give me one loss that you can't really shake since you've been a head coach.
Well, they probably happened in the same season, and it was a long time ago, honestly. It was my last year at Lipscomb. We were the number one seed. We lose to Liberty in the championship game at home. It was a miserable finish. We've been to the NCAA tournament the year before. Two great teams. Lipscomb was a bubble team that year. So really, gosh, just devastating not to have the chance to take that team to the NCAA tournament. But we picked ourselves up for the NIT, like a lot of teams do. You know, you find new life. And in that kind of magical run, we lose to Texas in the finals that year in Madison Square Garden, which, you know, for a Lipscomb team to have two games in Madison Square Garden was pretty phenomenal. But the quarterfinal game at NC State in front of a packed house, and where Garrison Matthews had 40-something points, that's probably in the weirdest of ways the favorite game of my coaching career.
I remember Garrison Matthews. I remember that team. I remember him putting up big numbers in that bye game I referenced earlier against Louisville. You know, I'm curious because you referenced it. I felt like when the postseason NIT lost the Garden, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a proud New Yorker, it completely changed the gravitas of the event, and it's put even more pressure on coaches, especially mid-major coaches, now to make the NCAA tournament because you don't have the same kind of carrot dangling on the backside. What was it like for you at Lipscomb to take a team to Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, I mean, it was a great highlight of I think all of our careers, you know, because it was so unexpected. You know, we were again so devastated at not being in the NCAA tournament, you know, and so our route, we couldn't play any home games, even though we would have been seeded such. So we go to Davidson, to UNC Greensboro, who was the number one overall seed that year in the NIT, and then to NC State. Three North Carolina trips within 1 week, went all three of those. Beat Wichita State in the semifinals and then lose to Texas in the finals. But so it was that 3 weeks of time was, I mean, it was just great. And it's, even though it was the NIT, there's no doubt that everybody that was part of that, has memories that will last a lifetime.
Casey, I know you want to do great things at Kansas State. I know you want to be a regular participant in the NCAA tournament, and I know you're still waiting to find out and take inventory of your roster. But what are the biggest things you want to accomplish in year one, regardless of the one loss record?
Well, I mean, I think we need to be playing in the NCAA tournament. You know, I don't think it's feast or famine. You know, the season's not lost if we don't. But it's one of the great things about modern day transfer portal era is that you can flip things around quickly. And yeah. I do think that we've got the pieces in place that should be our expectation from the very first day. And, you know, but it's only going to happen if the roster that we have assembled believes in what we're doing and takes ownership in what we're doing and, you know, find a way to have some longevity of success throughout the season. I mean, there's no secrets to it. You're not going to sneak by anybody, especially in this league. So it's how can we maximize who we are? It's the beauty of a season for me, and I really love that part of it.
Well, Casey, it's going to be a lot of fun to cover. Appreciate a couple minutes. Know how busy you are. Congratulations on the job. And as always, look forward to staying connected along the way.
For sure. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You guys, Kansas State head coach Casey Alexander. I'm John Rothstein, and this is Inside College Basketball Now.